This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, filling in for my guy, Francisco Rojas. I'm in here on a Monday. He's in for me on Tuesday, bit of a scheduling conflict on his end. So we flip-flopped this particular week, which means that I have the pleasure of kind of giving my takeaways from the weekend. Always fun. First of all, playing out at Wrigley Field. I had a chance to go there last. Watching games at Wrigley Field is fun. I had a chance to cross it off the bucket list last summer. They were there July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of 2024. Really, really fun going out to Wrigley, watching the Phillies play there. They, of course, now, they used to play there more often, play there now just once a year, one series a year. And it's a blast. Definitely highly, highly recommend getting that off the bucket list when anyone ever gets a chance. Truly one of the gems in this entire country is getting out to Chicago and seeing Wrigley Field. It's just the best. So that was great. Now, we'll definitely try and hold out for a warm weather year, what I'll call a warm weather year, which means that the Phillies go out there, you know, between the months of May and August. I got stuck with an April year this year, a couple years ago. I know they went out there in September. Hopefully next year comes out there playing at Wrigley in the summer, because that is always way more fun than when they are, you know, when you got to brave the elements, the friendly confines. If the ivy's not green yet, which it was not this past weekend, it's probably pretty cold out there. So anyway, Phils win 2-3, which is what you love to see. And no one would have believed that if we were talking just 48 hours ago at the end of the day on Friday. They had their day game. First of all, they, you know, kind of a reverse series in a sense that you had a day game Friday, afternoon game Saturday, night game on Sunday. Usually you do the reverse in most instances over a weekend, but Wrigley Field loves their Friday day games. So they got to be a part of that on Friday. And nothing worse, and I was producing the game for WIP, so obviously I was there from pregame, rain delay coverage, game, postgame. There was nothing worse than waiting out a two-hour rain delay just to watch your team lose, and lose a stinker, like just lose horribly. The 4-0 game the Phillies lost to the Cubs on Friday was not even remotely interesting. The Phillies never had a chance to win that game at all, and that was kind of my takeaway through the first four games of the road trip. If I were doing this show on Friday, at the end of the day on Friday, that would have been my takeaway. And that was my takeaway on WIP shows when I did leading off, but on my WIP show on Saturday prior to Saturday's win, that when I came on for leading off, that this was just the most ridiculous, you know, stretch of baseball I'd seen, because it didn't even feel like they had a chance to win any of those games. They got their ass handed to them up at Citi Field for 3, and they continued it right into the Mets series. They lost 4-0. I tweeted out after the game that the Cubs had better starting pitching, better relief pitching, hit better situationally. They ran the bases better. They played defense better. They did literally everything better in that game. Then the Phillies finally got their heads out of their asses for Saturday and Sunday, and they needed a laugher in the worst way. And they got it with a 6-run fourth inning on Saturday. The bats finally freaking came alive, which was again needed in the worst friggin' way possible. Like, literally the worst possible way did they need that 4-run or 6-run fourth inning against the Cubs on Saturday. So the Phillies win that one 10-4. Was encouraging stuff yet again from Jesus Luzardo, who has just pitched tremendously. I mean, he's been the Phillies' best pitcher thus far this season. Doesn't mean that I'm taking him over Zach Wheeler. I mean, I think he is the Phillies' best pitcher. But if you want to go straight performance, the guy's got a 1.73 ERA on the year. He has been flat out phenomenal. And that, you know, for an offseason where everyone said the Phillies are just quote unquote running it back, you know, I completely get that they're running most of the same lineup back. They're running, you know, most of the same team back. But, you know, the bullpen changed, unfortunately, I think, for worse. The rotation is mostly the same, definitely improved. And then, you know, you improved with Kepler in left field. But as far as the big splash move of the offseason, it was Jesus Luzardo and trading with the Marlins for him. And that has already paid off immediately. Questionable decision by Rob Thompson, I thought, going to Matt Strom. I get you're trying to get a guy work, but you're up 10-2 at the time. He allows a couple of runs, throws 29 pitches, makes it 10-4, but Joe Ross, Carlos Hernandez, kind of in garbage time, low leverage situations, able to get the job done. Once again, frustrating that it felt like Strom was not available in Sunday's game based upon what he did on Saturday and even with the off day on Monday. Something to monitor with him, because his ERA has climbed up a little bit here. Again, after a 2-run performance in Chicago, he allowed a run in an outing against the Marlins, but still early in the year. That was the worst he looked was Saturday at Wrigley. And then the Sunday game was the closest and best of them all. Best win of the road trip, probably, in terms of like a tenacity, not because in terms of them playing the best. They score. So this was a game that was started by Aaron Nola. He, by far, I mean, they needed him desperately on Monday night. Yeah, Monday night at Citi Field. They needed him even more desperately on Sunday night at Wrigley. And he came up big. He gave him 7 innings, 3 hits, 1-run baseball, 6 strikeouts, 99 pitches. Perfect. Got out at the right perfect time. Faced a little bit of adversity late. In his 7th inning of work, in Nola's 7th inning of work on Sunday, and I want to get the exact play-by-play here to ensure, you know, I get this correct, but he walked Michael Busch to lead off the inning. Seemed like he was starting to lose his velocity and command a little bit. Got Dansby Swanson to hit into a fielder's choice on a ball that felt like it should have been a double play ball, and then immediately Nico Hoerner hits into a 9-3 double play to Castellanos and Wright, where Swanson was rounding second base when the ball was caught and wasn't even close. And finally, it felt like the first time the Phillies were getting like a break in a close game, you know, in some time, frankly. And that turned out to be a huge, huge moment in the game. Phillies bullpen was able to take this thing into extra innings. It was Kerkering had a shutdown 8th, Alvarado shutdown 9th. Romano came on in the 10th. Tell you about his outing in just a second. But top of the 10th inning, it started with Castellanos as the inherited runner on second base. Realmuto works a walk. Kepler walks. Bases loaded. Nobody out. The Cubs do a mound visit. I thought for sure that this was Alec Boehm up at this point, that he would find a way to hit into a around the horn 5-4-3 triple play and smash his helmet down to somehow to smash it so hard that it would find its way to China. But Boehm, actually productive at bat, hits a sack fly to right, brought Castellanos in. So that's 2-1. But again, when you're on the road, you're really playing for 2 runs. You really need that second run to come home to feel confident. about it. And thus they did. You know, Rojas hit into a fielder's choice, two outs in the inning. Stott works a walk. And then Turner was able to hit a ball back up the middle to bring in one more run, made it 3-1. Bryce Harper struck out to end the inning, got a weird stat on him that I want to get to in just a second here. But bottom of the 10th, this is really encouraging stuff from Jordan Romano. Once again, they, of course, have a runner on second base as well. Seiya Suzuki starts there. Bush strikes out. Swanson flies out. Horner grounds out. That is a 1-2-3 inning for Jordan Romano, who has looked considerably better. I don't want to say considerably better of late. He had a horrendous outing against the Marlins, pitched a clean inning in New York, following day allowed a run in New York, and then on Sunday pitched his best inning of the season, where he got his 13.5 ERA down to 12.19. They said on the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast that Caleb Cotham and him believe that he might have been tipping pitches, and they corrected the issue. So something to monitor there would obviously be huge if that's something he caught, that, you know, something Jordan Romano could change. It's as simple as he was just tipping pitches. But that is something that hopefully Romano will look better as we transition into May here later on this week. So Phillies win 2 of 3 at Wrigley. They did so losing the first game out in Chicago. That is a 2-4 road trip. Again, a disappointing road trip, but considering how things started, I think anyone would have signed up for that, frankly, knowing how they would play at Citi Field. The stat I wanted to give quickly on Bryce Harper, and this was damning stuff that I saw, which is that, so Bryce Harper, he strikes out swinging to end the 10th, and I saw someone tweet this, that Bryce Harper's OPS, each of the last two seasons, 23 and 24, now it's carried into 25, is like 200 points different at home versus road. He's got last year he had 1,000 OPS at home and a sub 800 OPS on the road. That's like Coors Field level splits. I mean, that is just unbelievable stuff. And it's funny, I read this actually on the air, and Joe Giglio texted me that he, you know, maybe it's an instance of, you know, Bryce Harper's back is in a worse place than we're all led to believe, and, you know, sleeping in his mattress at home versus sleeping in the hotel bed, whatever the case might be. Maybe, just maybe that is a different, but a 200 OPS difference home versus road over a couple of seasons here, that is damning. And that is really, really concerning, that the franchise's best player is, you know, not even an all-star if you just took in road games. It's almost like he's turned into a CBP merchant, which is something that your eyes, I think, tell you. Like, I think I knew that he was a worse player on the road. I didn't know it was that bad. Like, I didn't know his OPS was 200 points different on the road versus at home. So, I mean, that is crazy, crazy stuff. And that needs to be better. Bryce Harper can't just be going. Harper, by the way, has not been swinging a hot bat at all. So if you go through, he had a hit on Saturday, a hit on Friday. But other than that, he is, and I want to make sure I get this math correct, he is 2 for his last 22. He went 2 for 22 on the road trip with a total. He did walk 5 times on the trip. Struck out 8 times. So not a good road trip for him at all. And that's coming off a homestand, which he had a surge. And he'll return home this week and he'll be great. And we'll all love him because he's Bryce Harper. But this guy needs to hit on the road. I mean, he flat out needs to hit on the road. And this team's going to need to win games on the road. Not only just in the regular season, but in the postseason as well. In particular, if you don't win the division. You know, home field advantage, everyone loves to talk about that layoff you get if you advance in the wild card round and or advance through the wild card round, make the division series, and you've won the division. That's all fine and good, but for a team who clearly has guys who are better at CBP, such as Christopher Sanchez, such as Bryce Harper, that is a massive first of all, I don't buy into the whole idea of don't win the division because it's somehow better. I think that's perfectly ridiculous. But number two is you cannot discount what a home field advantage does, not just because of the fans and, you know, yes, the atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park is great, but these guys just play better at home. And I don't know if it's home cooking, home, you know, bed or whatever the case might be, but Bryce Harper is not the same guy on the road and hasn't been for some time. So that is something to monitor as well. Stott continues to, I'll say, be pretty good in the leadoff spot. He, on the road trip, he wasn't quite as good as the homestand either. But let's see, he took a total of, doing quick math, 23 at-bats. He goes 4-6-7 for 23, which, you know, as the leadoff guy, respectable. 7 for 23, 304 batting average. Nothing too shabby there. He walked a couple times. So if we're going on base percentage, it'd be 10 for 26, which would be 384. Like, Stott has held his weight in the leadoff spot considerably more than I expected. Trey Turner continued, although he did have, you know, a good game on Sunday. He actually has a four-game hitting streak going, and he had three hits on Sunday, so his batting average climbs up to 262. Still not playing like a star, still laid down a really disappointing tag in the game on, I believe that was Friday, the game they lost on Friday. So he continues to be a disappointment. Schwarber had a bit of a disappointing, he didn't homer once on the road trip, kind of really, really lackluster. He didn't have a great series at Wrigley, he had just one hit, a couple of walks in the series. So hopefully they can wake him up. Castellanos continues to swing the bat relatively well. He's coming off a four-game hitting streak. Realmuto, good series in Chicago. With the bat, relatively speaking, I'll say a decent road trip. Good series in Chicago for him. Max Kepler, really, really good game on Saturday. Sometimes he looks like he can't hit a beach ball, and sometimes he looks like a great hitter and a tough out. So still kind of jury out on Max Kepler. Boehm continues to struggle down at the top, bottom of the lineup. And Johan Rojas, he tried to get a bunt down on Sunday, I believe it was. Frustrating stuff that he, like, the one thing he needs to be able to do is lay down a bunt. And he just frankly has not mastered that art, which, you know, you start to question whether he belongs in the batter's box at the major league level. Highlights from just, you know, a few other things to get to. Brandon Marsh has been rehabbing. Love to see that in Friday's game with the Iron Pigs, he struck out three times, and the Iron Pigs struck out 8 times as in total. So the Iron Pigs lineup struck out 8 times in total. Marsh accounted for 3 of them, but he does seem to be rehabbing his way back. Ranger Suarez, one of these days, will make his way back as he continues to work up his load, and he did so in Lehigh Valley as well. So I don't think the days of Taijuan Walker in the rotation are much longer. Christopher Sanchez played catch at Wrigley Field. Feels like that he could maybe return as soon as Wednesday, if not by the end of the week. So some positive signs all around from injury news. Over the weekend, Phillies also traded Cody Clemens to the Twins for cash considerations, which thank you to friend of the program, Tim Kelly, for getting to the bottom of the fact that cash considerations is indeed just cash. Nothing is being considered, but they did DFA him and didn't clear waivers, but he did get traded to the Minnesota Twins for cash. Other things from the weekend. So off day, we'll look ahead to this Nationals series. It'll be a rematch of the opening day lineup, or opening day matchup, I should say. This time at Citizens Bank Park, it'll be Mackenzie Gore going up against Zach Wheeler. Of course, Mackenzie Gore pitched opening day down at Nats Park, and that was a game the Phillies struck out 19 times. So looking forward to that on Wednesday. Still don't have a pitching matchup because maybe Christopher Sanchez, unclear what's going to happen there. And then that kind of affects Thursday and so forth as well. But rare case where there's no getaway day. Nationals were home on Monday, played a 4 o'clock game against the Mets at home. They come to Philly for three, and then they go to Cincinnati for three. And interesting that they play in Cincinnati on Sunday, and that is a 4:10 game, which is a little bizarre. That something must be happening in Cincinnati that the game's 4:10 and not a 1:10 game, but not that any Phillies fan cares about that. The Phillies and Nationals, they will play three night games at CBP this week, and then you fast forward to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Night game on Friday against Arizona. Saturday, they play a 6:05 game against Arizona. And then Sunday, the 2:05 start time, not 1:35. Take note of the 2:05 start time, that due to the Broad Street run, which will, of course, cause some traffic down in the South Philadelphia Sports Complex area. That's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Coming up tomorrow, stay tuned for Francisco Rojas. Again, he will be in for me. Stay tuned for, myself. And I'll be back on Wednesday. Justin Morgenstein will have you later in the week as well. As hopefully the Phillies can get back to their winning ways, win a series over the Nationals, and a winning homestand with the Diamondbacks as well. And they're back home, so expect now Bryce Harper to start hitting. Really just need to get him hitting. Need to get Bryce Harper back hitting when they're on the road, not just at home. Again, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Talk to you next time.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.